Warm health from Zanzi greetings. Welcome to another episode. Weekly, we shine a spotlight on remarkable individuals contributing to the field of public healthcare. Today, we introduce you to Dr. Molobokhe Nkolojane, a passionate advocate for public health in Umzanzi. She has dedicated her career to combating infectious diseases, particularly tuberculosis and HIV, in her role as a clinical microbiologist and infection prevention and control specialist. From her upbringing in Kumo Township to her pivotal role at the National Health Laboratory Services, Dr. Kolojane's tireless efforts have made a tangible difference in the lives of many patients. Dr. Kolojane, thank you so much for joining us here on the Health for Umzanzi podcast. It is an absolute pleasure. And I usually like to start, you know, with getting a bit of information or some background as to the person, you know, just growing up years, what was childhood like? Maybe we can start there. Welcome.
Thank you for the invitation, Dawn. I'm from Northwest in Stilfontein, very small town in Stilfontein. I grew up in the township called Kuma. My mom and dad. I'm fourth of four children, so the last born in the family. And I've got an older sister, two brothers in between, and myself. So I went to Kuma Primary School, where my mother was actually a teacher in that school. But I went to Kuma Primary School, proceeded to a school in town, the Christian Academy, and then to Milner High School. That's basically my schooling there.
What was it like having a mother who was a teacher where you were also at the school? Did you feel a lot of pressure to perform really well because of that?
Not really pressured per se. I think it was nice in a way because nobody could mess up with me because they knew, you know, a child of Mem Kolojane, you know, you don't want to mess up with the teacher's daughter in the school. So I think that helped it a bit. In terms of school pressure, I don't think I was pressured per se. Maybe because I just did well anyway at school, generally. Maybe I didn't get in trouble a lot. Maybe that helped because my mom was at the school, so I didn't want to get in trouble a lot. But it was okay. It was fine. Yeah. I was just the baby of the family. And at school, fortunately, I was not in my mom's class. That helped.
Definitely. And I would love to hear more about that in future and just to get to know you better, but we are very much focused on your career or work as a clinical microbiologist and IPC specialist, which is infection prevention and control specialist. Maybe you can just tell us a bit about what inspired you to pursue a career in clinical microbiology and to specialize in these specific areas, infectious diseases, infection prevention and control, and public health.
My interest actually began when I was in varsity. So I studied in UP. Initially, I think I was confused when I was in high school. So as a kid, I always knew I wanted to be a doctor. And then when I got to high school, there was a moment where I thought, okay, maybe I should be an accountant. So when I applied to varsity, my first choice was accounting science. And then when I got there, I was like, nah, I'm lost here. I don't want to be here. And then when I went back, obviously, to apply for medicine, it was late at the time. So I ended up applying for a BSc. So I did a BSc as a bridge to get into medicine. But when I got there, then I majored in microbiology and I actually enjoyed it. But then when I finished doing the junior degree and we were taken to the lab, I just thought, you know, man, I still need patient interaction, dealing with people, because I like dealing with people. So I went back and I did a medicine degree. I finished. Now, specializing in microbiology, I can call it a God orchestrated part of my life as well, because I was doing my comm-serv at my hometown hospital, the Tsepontlex Hospital Complex. And one of my friends was in the department here at VETS at CMID doing microbiology. And then she was like, friend, you have to come here. This is your place. This is where you're supposed to be. So I applied, got in, and since then, I've just been enjoying myself in the field of microbiology. It's really, really interesting. I'm really enjoying everything from dealing with infectious diseases to infection prevention and control, how we treat these organisms, the ongoing evolvement of these organisms, and how we try, you know, to build strategies around how we can facilitate ensuring that we curb the transmission of these organisms in our facilities and also in our communities. So it's been quite an interesting journey for me. I really enjoy what I do.
I can hear it in your voice, doctor, just the passion that you're with. And, you know, just hearing you reflect on this and reminisce on your journey is absolutely beautiful. Now, in the healthcare sector in South Africa, what do you see, you know, as the most pressing health issues in our community? And how do you envision addressing these challenges? Also, how are you currently addressing these challenges in your practice day to day?
South African health systems, generally, we've got a lot of challenges, a whole lot of different challenges in different areas. Although one can say if you look at the African continent, we're doing better, but still there's more that we can do or improve. But because my focus is more on infectious diseases, if you look at, for example, TB, HIV, like on the top 10 of the list of issues that we are facing in our country, and we know that TB is the leading health issue in South Africa, which unfortunately, even to this day, we're still seeing a high rate of death from TB cases. So that for me is still a problem that we are still dealing with, that we're still trying to ensure that we curb. And with the co-infection with HIV, we know that the morbidity and mortality is increased in these patients. So generally, yeah, that's where the problem is. And from my side, I mean, working for the National Health Laboratory Services, we get exposed to all these infectious diseases, including TB and HIV. And we try by all means to make sure that we deliver the results timelessly so that patients can actually be treated promptly. So in our field as clinical microbiologists, we facilitate in the lab to make sure that the results are out ASAP so that the patients can actually be started. And I do outreach. So I go to ward rounds in some of these hospitals. There's 5 hospitals that I support in the West Rand and Central Joburg. So we do ward rounds and we engage with clinicians or treating physicians with regards to how to treat these patients. As you may think, I mean, at the end of the day, sometimes they get all these complications and then on top of that, get all these new organisms that are emerging. So you always have to try to balance, because with TB, there's so much in terms of the TB drugs that they have to take. And then on top of these HIV drugs, the ARVs. And then when they get an infection, now you have to think about, okay, what antibiotics then am I going to give this patient? So we work together with the clinicians to come up with a great management or appropriate treatment for these patients. It's an ongoing thing. At the end of the day, we just need to carry on and try to support all these peripheral hospitals as well. Because at the end of the day, if you think about it, peripheral hospitals are more towards where the communities are. So from the clinics, their first line is usually these district hospitals. So if you can capacitate measures in those areas in terms of treatment for these patients, then at least alleviating a lot of problems and you can treat the patients quickly as they come into the healthcare system.
You've just given us so much insight, you know, into your personal experience and also just your approach, what your approach you've taken and, you know, in terms of patient care. Is it difficult working with diverse populations in South Africa? And maybe you can touch a little bit, you know, on the challenges that you faced while practicing as an outreach pathologist of regional and district hospitals, both in Johannesburg, Central and the West Rand. You just made mention of that as well.
Like I've already alluded to, I do a lot of ward rounds. So I interact a lot with the clinicians. Challenges per se, I think it has to do also with the people that I'm providing the service, for them to understand the service that I'm giving them. Because when I started, I mean, I've been doing this for about 5 years now in terms of the outreach. When I started, I think most of the practicing clinicians didn't understand my role because they've encountered clinical microbiologists in tertiary level hospitals. So they didn't understand, why am I there now? What am I doing now in these district hospitals? So what stands out for me is when I do these rounds and I find healthcare workers who are really interested in what I'm there to give them, and they working together with them with passion and making sure that we serve our communities with empathy and really making sure that they get the best outcome. Because it's a collaborative effort to make sure that we reduce transmission of my multi-drug resistant organisms, especially in the facilities. So I work very closely as well with the infection prevention and control coordinators in these facilities to make sure that there's measures that are put in place for prevention of transmission of these microorganisms at the facility level. But obviously that, together with teaching your patients, you are able to actually help in terms of community infection prevention and control. So the dissemination of information from the healthcare facility to our patients and really teaching them on what's going on with them and how we're preventing transmission of organisms, they can also carry that through to the community where they can, you know, tell their friends, this is what happened, you know, their experiences. So that way we are literally also just teaching the community.
I was just about to ask if you could walk us through, you know, your involvement in outbreak investigation, yes, establishing antimicrobial stewardship, yes, programs in outreach health, okay, facilities. You know, what have these kind of initiatives had on public health outcomes?
With outbreak at the facility level, because I mean, at the end of the day, I think most of the time I'm more involved in facility, although other part of NHLS is NICD that does the country surveillance. At the facility, we also do ongoing surveillance. So together with the IPC coordinators, we keep check of the cultures that are coming through our labs. So the IPC coordinator will also be getting feedback from me whenever there's any organisms or pathogens of concern so that they can take care of what's going on in their facilities. So we work together, we conduct audits to actually check. So if there's some suspicious, you know, where there's a ward, where they suspect there's an outbreak, maybe there's a trend of maybe organisms over a short period of time, then we go in and we do an audit. So during the audit, then we can determine whether or not are we dealing with an outbreak or what's going on, try to determine where the source is and put in place preventative measures. So we'll give recommendations, which can range from retraining in terms of the nurses or the healthcare workers in that unit, for example, cleaning department, we get involved with the cleaners as well in terms of teaching them how to handle different concentrations of chemicals when dealing with different organisms. So we go through all those to determine whether or not we've got an outbreak and put in place transmission measures to make sure that this doesn't get further on from that unit and we do not end up with high mortality of patients. With antimicrobial stewardship, it is important for healthcare facilities to have AMS. And I've been trying with all these outreach facilities to make sure that we've got a great running committee. Some hospitals, it's running smoothly, while some, we still have hiccups. And the hiccups, I think, also comes from, you need a very strong management support when it comes to AMS, because that's where they need to also facilitate involvement of the end user, like their clinicians and other specialties. For an AMS committee, you need clinicians in the different specialties. You need your pharmacists. You need the IPC coordinator. You need your operational managers to also be involved from the nursing team. And of course, the support from a microbiologist at the base. So all those people need to be in a committee that will meet on a regular basis and hash out the guidelines and anything new when it comes to their trends in that facility, how they can change practices and all that. So sometimes you find that, I mean, for me, the biggest challenge is that commitment, that I'm always trying to fight to get to that commitment from the healthcare workers to be there, because they will tell you that we're busy giving, delivering patient care. We don't have time to come to meetings. But my question then becomes, what type of care are you giving? Because I believe for quality care, you need to make sure that you are up to date with what's going on. And I mean, when we think about antimicrobial resistance, it's one of the biggest challenges that we have worldwide. And antimicrobial stewardship plays a huge role in trying to curb this multi-drug resistant issue that we have. It's one of the top priorities by WHO. It's like on the top when it comes to multi-drug resistant organisms, the critical priority list. So we do need to make sure that AMS is capacitated in our facilities. And yeah, I'm still persistently pushing on, you know, trying to make sure we get a smooth running AMS committee for all the facilities. And like I said earlier on, some are running, some we have these hiccups, but we keep on pushing, we keep on going forward. Because at the end of the day, it's about the patient and the outcome of that patient who can end up getting that MDRO in that facility.
I think it sounds like there's a lot more work to be done, but you're in a good space and you're on a good track. in terms of, you know, how you foresee the future and also how to work better, not in silos, but collectively to in support of patients who need this care. Maybe you can talk us through, you know, other opportunities you see for innovation and advancement within the healthcare sector in South Africa, specifically to improve access to quality healthcare for women and marginalized communities.
Working in a peripheral setup, the biggest challenge, or one of the biggest challenges, I think it's the infrastructure. And I feel that our healthcare facilities can be expanded and capacitated a bit more, you know, to give our patients quality service. I mean, high level service is not only for tertiary institutions. I mean, we need to capacitate from also community level type of thing, your clinics, your first level district hospitals. Those hospitals also need like attention, if I can put it that way. We have a high turnover of patients in our tertiary institution with lengthy queues. One of the issues that leads to that is the fact that our lower level hospitals are not well capacitated to deal with the conditions that can be dealt there. So you find that your tertiary level hospital is now dealing with a primary healthcare level issue because there was just not enough antibiotics maybe in one clinic. So now a patient has to be sent to a hospital. So those type of things, it's something that we can do just to capacitate our healthcare facilities, improve on the staffing issues, which is one of the biggest. I think that one is an issue throughout the continent. But yeah, it's something that can be improved. And I'm sure you've seen in the news as well. I mean, issues about staffing. So we need to improve on that. And then I do IPC audits whenever we have a query as to are we dealing with transmission in the hospital and the likes. And I can tell you, I give recommendations based on what we see in guidelines. But most of those other recommendations that I give have to do with infrastructure. And unfortunately, it has to do with budgeting and resource allocation. And if government working together with business entities can come up with some ideas of how to improve on that, it'll be great. I know there's some few hospitals that have been built in the past few years, but we just need to keep on going. We don't always have to just build from scratch, but we can also renovate what we already have one section at a time. I think that will also help. In the lab space, working at the National Health Laboratory Service, we continually try to invest and procure advanced instruments so that we can streamline our services to the healthcare sector. And that also in coming up with all these newer instruments that can actually get the results out quicker so that you can at least be able to treat the patient illnesses promptly and quicker. So that also helps. And we have this ongoing training of our staff to make sure that they are always competent. There's ongoing research in different areas in our lab space as well. We can come up with ideas and try to improve what we already have in renovation space or acquiring newer instruments to just streamline. And then I think if you also think of, there's, I think one of the regional hospitals that I support, they also moved toward digital administration of patients' pharmacy, like in terms of the drugs that are ordered. So that innovation in itself assists antimicrobial stewardship because we are able to then follow better instead of paper-based prescriptions only, but also data-based, online-based, so that we can follow through and see trends in different units and be able to intervene promptly to reduce antimicrobial usage in facilities. So all those things can actually assist in advancing our healthcare sector.
Dr. Kolojani, I can probably, you know, pick your brain on these various topics all day long. I really appreciate your time and also just your dedication to the work that you do day to day. How do you balance your professional, you know, responsibilities with ongoing learning and personal development to ensure you remain current and effective, you know, in your role as a healthcare provider in South Africa? And maybe you can just talk about, you know, that work-family-life balance as well. I'm sure it's a lot of hours spent, many hours, you know, dedicated to what you do. Why do you get up every day to do it?
Like I said earlier, I really enjoy what I do. So I think that in itself makes me get up in the morning and go and interacting with, like I said, doctors or clinicians that are interested in great outcome for their patients. For me, it's the one thing that really keeps me going. But balancing if you think about it, I sometimes think to myself, sure, I actually don't have enough hours in the day, let alone enough days of the week. Because doing outreach, you try by all means to give adequate support to all the facilities that you're supporting, which sometimes can really overstretch you. But then there's also teaching in terms of the university student lecturing. You still need to prepare for those lectures and also give support to research scientists in your department. And in between, you need to make sure that you keep up to date with what's recent, you know, in the microbiology space. So you end up having to go and check what is published, you know, the public's journals, check out new developments and groundbreaking innovations that are there in the health and science. But also as part of our microbiology registrar training, we have what we call journal clubs. So then we'll have our registrars presenting journals that we can discuss amongst ourselves. So that also at least, you know, keep me current, so to say. And then there's online presentations that we also attend. We've got this, a science space is also nice because we always share all these links to echoes and online platforms where we can, you know, attend presentations by our colleagues in the field throughout the world. And then we have our conferences and congresses where, you know, when you've got some research that you have, we go there, we present to each other, we interact with one another, we network, and that way we can always have collaborations for future research. So you try by all means to try to balance all that. And I've got 3 kids at home. At least the other 2 are in high school. So one is in grade 12 and the other one is in grade 10. And the little one is in grade 5. So when you're back at home, you are now a grade 5 teacher. So you, I don't know, somehow it happens. It works. And then you've got friends to attend to and all that. It somehow works. But you try by all means when you are at work to try to catch up with what's going on online space, what's published in terms of the journals. We share with each other in the department. If we see something interesting, then somebody will post and say, hey guys, I just saw this in this journal, have a look. Then we also discuss it amongst ourselves. So all that helps to keep me updated, if I can put it that way. But it's quite an interesting mix of a life.
Absolutely amazing. I mean, you speak with so much passion. I can't say this enough. I'm truly inspired by your life journey and your career. And that's exactly what we do here at Healthform Sense. We want to celebrate you and thank you for your contribution, your continuous contribution. It's not easy, I know this for sure, but we thank you and we see you. And then if you'd like to, you know, just share a short message to other aspiring, you know, people who would like to step into the healthcare sector. And also those currently in it, your colleagues in the space, other people working in your field, what would you say to them, you know, just to keep on keeping on?
For us in the healthcare space, the biggest thing that keeps us going is when you see that patient that you've been dealing with, really, it fulfills you to actually be able to make a change in somebody's life. It doesn't matter how small it is. It really does. And you hear from their families who would come back, okay, I don't deal directly with patients most of the time. I deal with the clinicians. So I will just hear from the doctors or from the nurses. They will say something, oh, Dr. Golojani, remember patient so-and-so who was on bed, what? We managed to discharge that patient. And that for me keeps me going. So us having that heart for our patients, having that empathy for our patients and knowing that, like I always say, like in the lab, because in the lab, our technologists see the samples going through. But recognizing and knowing that at the end of that sample, there's a patient. It could be somebody's aunt. It could be somebody's mom. Just having that empathy and the thought that, hey, I want to do the best to make sure that this sample is treated well enough. At the end of the result, the doctor can be able to treat the patient properly. So the empathy, the love for people, and just the love for, you know, having a healthy community, so to say, that's the way we can do it. Like, I'm sure you've already picked it up. I've got a heart or a drive for infection prevention and control, because I always say you don't want a person who comes to hospital because they've got diabetes, ketoacidosis, and then they end up with Klebsiella pneumonia, CRE, which they picked up in the facility. My drive is to make sure that that person who's coming in with whatever condition that they have should not pick up something that's in the hospital or that's transmitted to them within the hospital space, or a neonate who's just born and they are fresh and then the next thing they get infected. So I'm more in that IPC arena. I'd like to do more research in infection prevention and control. and try to see if there's ways we can come up with guidelines or practices or strategies that can actually curb that transmission of microorganisms between patients. Because honestly, it becomes such a nightmare when you have this premature baby now with a multi-drug resistant organism. Now you have to punch holes through them, obviously, to put through antibiotics, through IVs. So that's my space, research in IPC. And hopefully I'll see myself in the policymaking level where I can, you know, influence policy changes in our country for IPC and antimicrobial stewardship.
Thank you so much for joining us on this podcast, Dr. Moloboge Nkolojane. I'm really inspired by your commitment to advancing infection prevention and control practices. Everything of the best with your vision of shaping policies that prioritize patient safety and quality care. Until next time, bye-bye for now from me, your host, Dawn Numdu, our technical producer, Megan van de Vent, and the rest of the hashtag Team Health Forms Anzi. Stay inspired.